This is the RSAC Advisories Update in the Padang Ballroom on February 11th, 2015, from 1400 to 1500.
Ladies and gentlemen, most welcome to this RSAC activities update from the Root Service System Advisory Committee. My name is Lars-Johan Liemann, and I am one of the two co-chairs for the Root Service System Advisory Committee. And here to my right is Tripti Sinha, who is the other co-chair. With me on stage, I also have Terry Manderson and Jim Martin, and also Kaveh Ranjbar. We'll give you a very brief introduction to the RSAC for those of you who haven't been in contact with us before, and then we'll do a quick update on what we've been doing. So I'll go to that slide. We've recently released two documents, so we'll do a quick overview of these two documents. We will look at what's the highlight of this meeting, the IANA stewardship transition. And we'll also go into a bit how we interact with the community through our RSAC caucus. So I'll begin with a quick overview and introduction. So what is the Root Service System Advisory Committee? It has a very narrow scope. It's a very small committee. We advise the ICANN community and board on matters relating to the operation, administration, security, and integrity of the Internet's root server system. The root servers, as you probably know, sit the level above the top-level domains. So this is a group of servers that hand out delegations to clients that tell the clients where the various top-level domains are located on the network. So this is a very narrow scope. We don't deal with policy in any way. We are not a policy-setting body. So we are only interested in the technical aspects of the operations here. So this is a very technically focused committee. RSAC consists of 12 representatives, one from each of the organizations that operate root servers. There are 13 server clusters, but 12 organizations that operate them. And each appointed member has an alternate or the option to have an alternate who can step in case the regular representative cannot make a meeting or has some kind of problem participating. And we also have a group of liaisons to other bodies, which I will speak of in a minute. In addition to the formal committee, RSAC, we have designed a group of volunteer subject matter experts that we call the RSAC caucus. Since we're such a small committee, we need extra hands to do the actual work of doing investigations and creating documents. So therefore, we have called on a number of volunteer people to help us do that. And this group is appointed by RSAC. The liaisons we have are to the IANA functions operator, and this is the ICANN IANA department, to the root zone maintainer, that's VeriSign, and to the IANA functions administrator, which is the Department of Commerce, the NTIA part of that. And we also have liaisons to the Internet Architecture Board on the technical side, to ICANN's Security and Stability Advisory Committee, which we cooperate a lot with because they have a wider scope, and we often find overlapping areas where we have discussions and dialogue with them. And of course, we have interaction with the ICANN board through a liaison and also the ICANN NOMCOM. So the caucus, the purpose of the caucus is to have a pool of experts who can help us produce documents and who can be the expertise and the critical mass to widen the expertise that we have in among the 12 of us. We don't have all the expertise we need in security and network operation and registry operation and client-side DNS operation and protocol specification and so on. So we have a wide variety of experts in this group. And depending on the work task at hand, we invite different subsets of members to help us create the documents. And we do that by calling for volunteers. And this is a very important way to increase the transparency of the advisory committee. So this is where the interaction with the wider community happens. And there is also transparency in those who participate. The caucus is a very open group. We so far hasn't turned down anyone who has shown interest to help us by working there. And those who are members have to state their affiliation in a statement of interests, and that is published on the web. So you, and also all documents are, so to speak, signed by the authors who have participated in generating the documents. You can actually see, you have an accountability track there, so you can see who was part of making this document and what affiliation do they have, and what does that, what type of connections that does that create. So this caucus is the framework for getting the work done, and it works to produce results. We, for each task that we involve the caucus in, we create a work party leader. We create a work party and then a work party leader, and we set deadlines and so on. So we have an ongoing machinery there for the work. The caucus members. All members of the RSAC are member of the, also member of the. All members of the formal committee are also members of the caucus, and then a much larger set of other people who are appointed by RSAC. And I think we went through that. We try to identify clearly scoped work items, and we create. The term I always forget, work specifications, we are a kind of a problem statement where we specify what we expect the work party to produce as a result, so that they know the scope of the work they're undertaking. And then we designate a work party leader who leads the work with that subgroup in the caucus to produce the document. And it's very important also to state that the documents may well include dissenting opinions. So if there are various opinions within the group that does this research, that should be put on the table so that we can all see it and we can all react to that properly. The caucus is a fairly new thing, but we are planning now for a kickoff meeting at the upcoming IETF meeting in Dallas. So RSAC usually meets at the ICANN meeting, as most of the other advisory committees and organizations within ICANN. This wasn't the case until just 2 years ago. We used to meet at the IETF meetings because the old form of RSAC and the caucus still today is mostly comprised of technical experts who typically don't attend ICANN meetings. So it was much more likely to find these people at the IETF meetings. Now we've changed that so that the formal committee meets here at ICANN meetings to be able to interact with the ICANN community better and be more visible and more approachable. We want it to be easy for all members of the community to come and talk to us and interact with us. And that wasn't quite possible when we were at the IETF and you were here. So we changed that, but still the technical members are at the IETFs, so the caucus will have its initial meeting at the upcoming meeting in Dallas. And we will invite all the caucus members to participate and have a dialogue on work procedures and do some brainstorming about current and future work items and invite new ideas from the caucus members. And if you happen to be interested in helping us to work in the caucus, please send a message to the mail address here, rsac-membership@icann.org. As I mentioned, RSAC has recently produced two publications in our newly created RSAC numbered series of documents. The very, very first one, RSAC 000, is the procedures document that describes the working procedures, but that's a bit back in time now. So the most recent ones are 001 and 002 that speak to service expectations of root servers and an advisory on measurements of the root server system. And we've also recently issued a statement on the on increase of the DNS SEC signature validity period of the DNS root zone, which speaks to a very detailed technical problem regarding DNS SEC signature validities. But I am going to ask Terry to speak a bit about RSEC 001. So can you hand a clicker to Terry?
Thank you, Lehman. So let me see if I can make this go forward. There we go. So RSEC 001, the service expectations of root servers, really is an evolution document, and it sets the posture of informing the entire interested stakeholder community about the services and service commitment for the 13 root servers operated by the organizations that that do in fact run them. Those expectations are really focused on what the stakeholders of the root server system might reasonably expect to know. The document is currently, as Lehman has already mentioned, in lockstep with the IETF for full publication. There are reasons for this, namely the companion document, which is RFC 2870, is being updated to match the direction of RSEC 001, which concerns itself with the operational aspects, and then the successor to 2870, or RFC 2870, is going to be focused on the protocol side of servers. The 18 expectations from 001 provide statements on infrastructure, diversity, monitoring, measurement, capacity, stability, accuracy, documentation, and communication. Essentially all those things that we see that the community wants to know about the operation of root servers. The key RSEC recommendations from this is that each root server operator will respond to the expectations and publish those to the internet community. And secondly, each root server operator will then notify RSEC where those responses are published, and further, notify RSEC of any revisions to either the location or the content of that publication. And that, in a nutshell, is 001.
Thanks, Harry. I'll now ask Jim to speak about the RSEC 002 document a bit.
Hi, I'm Jim Martin from ISC. RSEC 02 is a measurement document. The idea behind this document is to define measurements that are required for all of the, well, rather, that are requested from all of the root server operators to provide a baseline of information so that we can understand how the root system is evolving, how the changes in what's going into the root zone are impacting the overall root server system. The idea is that from this, some decisions can be made on how future changes are made within the root system. Specifically, there are a number of data points that are being requested in this document. The first is latency in publishing the available data. This is measuring how long it takes from when the root zone is generated until it makes it all the way out to the publishing servers. And this is made a little more complicated because, of course, these are all Anycast clouds, and not all of the nodes are going to be up at any time. So we're measuring from the time that we're notified through 95% of the devices are aware. The size of the overall root zone. This is a somewhat of a humorous one in that it certainly should be the exact same number from all of the roots. If we don't, then there's a problem. But this is meant to ensure that this data is kept alongside with all of the other data that's being collected. The number of queries, these are broken down by protocol type, V4, V6, UDP, TCP. But what the number of queries that are coming in, the data rate. The distribution of the query sizes, both in and out, and again, broken down by protocol and that sort of thing. The response codes, that how much of it are not found, errors, NX domain, that sort of thing. And then the last one is actually a little bit interesting. It's the number of unique sources for queries. Because of the nature of the system and all of the distributed servers, it's actually relatively complex to correlate this all and ensure that you've got a unique number of sources being identified. So because of that, the document specifies that this is optional for the first 3 years. So our recommendations are that each of the root servers operators implement the measurements. Now, this isn't being sprung on anyone. All of the root server operators are represented on RSAC, and all of the RSAC are on the caucus, and it's the caucus who actually did all this work. So no one's surprised by this. It's something that will be rolled out over time. RSAC is going to be monitoring how that progresses. And relatively importantly, the measurements are always going to be reviewed. So we've got a two-year cycle where we go back and make sure that the data that we're collecting is worthwhile so that we're not impacting the system for data we don't really need, or to establish that there's new data that would be very helpful to have. And so that'll happen on an ongoing basis. And that's the overview of RSAC 02.
Thank you. The IANA stewardship transition is a thing that seems to be on everyone's mind these times, and RSAC are involved in that, although not as deeply as it is many other parts of the organization. RSAC finds that this proposed transition is a very important thing. We definitely support the work that's going on. We do it, for instance, by having two people on the ICG that participate there. I'm one of them. The other one is Daniel Karenberg, who is, I believe, not in the room right now. and we observe this process very carefully, and we follow it. We do not actively take part in the CWG names working group at the moment because we don't see at the moment that there are things being discussed that pertain to the root servers. So if we don't see any need to intervene there, it would only disturb the process if we start to add stuff in there. So there is no need for comments from the RSAC to that process right now. But we continue to observe it, we continue to follow what's going on through the ICG, through other various members of the RSAC who participate in other places in ICANN. So we are quite well aware of what's going on, and we will take action if we see the need to do that. But right now we don't see that. Tripti.
Thank you, Lima. So the RSAC has now identified the next set of work for the caucus. And this will culminate in a document that we call RSAC 003. So the root zone TTLs haven't changed in many years. And we have made an observation under certain circumstances where the AnyCast instance of the root server is not updated for, say, 24 hours. There could be a situation where the resolver is told the TTLs for the NS records are good and the signature has expired. So we've put together a work party of eight people, a crackerjack team, that's going to look into this and come back with some recommendations and perhaps a recommendation to reduce the TTL. So this work has just started. It was assembled as I speak. And we hope to conclude this sometime in this calendar year. Moving on to, actually, this is our concluding slide. We'd like some interaction from you, the community. So I'd like to put two questions out there. There is an effort underway amongst the ICANN community to see how easy it is to get information from the ICANN website. And in particular, we would be curious to know how easily are you able to locate information on the RSAC, including the documents that we're publishing, what the RSAC is about, the membership of the RSAC. So I'd be curious to hear that from you during Q&A. And I'd also like to share with you the four different ways you can actually interact with the RSAC. One is right now, we do have these presentations at the ICANN meetings. And as Liman just said, we have assembled a caucus, which is a pool of experts in DNS, security, and operations. If you have skill sets and experience in that area, by all means, please contact us and join the membership. And we do also have joint meetings with supporting organizations and other advisory committees. For instance, just yesterday, we had a joint meeting with the SSAC. So we would welcome any other group that would like to meet with us. We're very happy to do that. And there's no substitute for, you know, stopping us in the hallway and reaching out to us. So by all means, feel free to do that. So I'd like to now open the floor for questions. There is no